In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The message is preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning or streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Shall we sing another song? Let's have one more song. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Join us out there as we sing this song. I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed. We're going to heaven through Jesus Christ. We're going to heaven through Jesus Christ. We're going to heaven through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life. All my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed.
He paid the price,
he paid the price.
On Calvary.
On Calvary.
He paid the price on Calvary. He paid the price on Calvary. With his blood he set us free. All my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed.
And that's not all.
And that's not all.
There's more besides.
There's more besides.
And that's not all, there's more besides. And that's not all, there's more besides. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed.
Glory, glory,
by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed.
Glory, by the blood of the Lamb.
Glory, glory,
by the Holy Ghost I am.
Jesus Christ is King.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed.
You're standing out there, you may be seated as well. But don't worry about Pastor Peters, who has to stand for the rest of the sermon. And some of you say, well, yeah, but we have to stand it too. Title of the sermon is Pointers in Spiritual Warfare. Now, before going forward and back on the spiritual offensive, as Gideon crusading-type Christian soldiers, I best make mention of last Sunday's sermon. That message was sent out on our CD and DVD and cassette tape ministry under the title Energized. And you might recall that that Sunday service was more of a Christian sing-along and praise-type service with little sermonettes interspersed in between. And at the beginning of it, I spoke of a writing in a book telling the difference between Eastern man, Indian man, and Western man, pointing out that Western man's energy centers are activated by prayer, singing, action, visualization, contemplation, all of which is done in Christian worship along with preaching. Now, I want to say that according to the Word of God, there is the milk of the Word and there is the meat of the Word. And I don't know how to make a message any more milky than I did last Sunday's message. Last Sunday's service, I just let the Spirit lead. And the preacher talked, and then he would have us sing. And I brought to the pulpit in that message this stack of emails. And this stack of emails was from last Sunday's message, the infamous Sunday sermon called Pastor Peter's Infamous Witchcraft Trial. And I was going to read some of the things that were sent in, positive things, by the way. But the Spirit checked me and said, "Nah, let it go." And the scripture that came to me at the time, which is still coming to me at this time, is in Proverbs 26:20. And that scripture says, and we're going to read it, in Proverbs 26:20, it talks this: "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down." So I decided, let it go. For lack of fire, wood, the fire goes out, and that's just the way it is. We're going on. We're going on the offensive. We ought to read on, though, in the next verse on that. It says this. Let's just read on the rest of that chapter. "Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer like dainty mortals, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross are the burning lips of a wicked heart. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will roll back on him." Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, so be it. Amen. Now, on another note, you may have noticed that this Sunday, this pastor took the Sunday morning 101 Christian Living class. Now, I've changed the title of that class to Scriptural Study and Insights. And it will be I and Acres of Diamond Men that will be bringing that class. I want to say to the Acres of Diamond Men that listen to this broadcast, they're going to be coming to Branson. We intend to have set up in Branson filming. So those of you out there that have 27 and a half minute messages to bring, we're going to green screen you, film you, and so we can play that interspersed with Pastor Peter's teachings on scriptural study and insights. Because we've got good men out there now that have done plenty of study and can bring insights from the scriptures, and we're going to have that in place of what we have had in Christian Living 101. Now, I intend to teach and have the Acres of Diamond Men teach in that class. There's a time to preach and there's a time to teach. Now, if you were there at that time this morning, I taught on what I think I called the subtitle of that study, The Basics of the Gospel. And I intend for that class to be more basic, but it's going to cover a wide range of things. I think next week I'm going to talk to you about what it means for Jesus to be the high priest of our confession. most do not understand what the Bible teaches concerning confession. But there's going to be a wide variety of different things that are covered in our teachings on the scriptural studies and insights that will be at the beginning of our Sunday services. The purpose is for you to become equipped so you can turn around and teach the basics to others. That's what we want. We want you going out, and so that means when you come to that Sunday school class, I want you to come with paper and pen. Take notes and learn. Oh, it's just the basics. I want the meat. No, sometimes you need to get the very basic milk because others need that, and you need to know how to give that. And it just might be that since I've been doing this for 30-plus years that I might be able to teach you how to do it. It says in Ephesians, one of my jobs, oh, many of you know what my job is and know it better than me. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 11, and we're going to read there. It says, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." Now, our regular 101 Christian Living Man is no longer with this ministry due to his own choosing. Last Monday, after last Sunday's milky message, I received a phone call from him, and it lasted all of about 3 or 4 minutes, as I recall, and it went something like this, and some of it I recall quite accurately. The first thing that was said, "Peter, how long have you been in this kind of thing?" I thought it was joking. I thought, making light of some of the foolishness that's been going on, and I said, "Oh, I don't know, about 30 years, I guess." And it has been. It's been about 30 years plus, actually, since I've been praising, singing, visualizing, contemplating, meditating, preaching, teaching, worshiping. Hallelujah. And then I realized he was serious. I said, "Are you serious?" And I was told this: "This is of the devil and you know it." Now, I underlined that, and that is what was said. And I was also said that I was deceived, and I was informed by he that he was severing his relationship with the ministry. Now, I say, for lack of fuel, the fire goes out. And I want to say to all of you who had problems with last Sunday's message, if you had a problem with last Sunday's message, you have a problem. You have a problem because Pastor Peters is going on. A preaching, a singing, a praising, a visualizing, a contemplating, a worshiping Almighty God. Amen. And now for today's sermon. I was going to entitle it, Being Offensive. Well, you ought to be good at that one, Pastor Peters. You know how to offend people. Well, no doubt some might say that, but that's not really what I mean. What I mean is I'm going to address spiritual warfare. And you cannot win a war by being on the defense, and Satan knows that. You have got to go on the offense. And the difference between the Gideon elite, and I've already in the past pointed out that the prophecies are that God will save a remnant, and there will be those, as in the story of Gideon. The Gideon elite went forward on the offensive. And that's how you win, and that's how they won, against great odds. While the rest were digging in and planning on their foxhole coverings, the Gideon elite went on the offensive. By the way, I want to say this. You might find this offensive, but what can I do about it? I understand the rumor is that there's a betting pool going on right now out there concerning this week's sermon of Pastor Peters. It costs $5 to get into the pool, and as of last night, it was up over $3,000. I think this morning it was $3,370. And whoever is the closest to these three questions wins the pool. The first question is, how many people will Pastor Peters offend and lose in this sermon? Number two, how soon after the sermon will the emails go out? And number three, will he be accused of being A, an astrologer, B, a pig farmer, or C, a transvestite? Now, I'm not betting, but I'm a praying that the winner is a tither. And so, if you win and you're a tither, send that tithe this way. This sermon has to do with pointers in regards to spiritual warfare that I've learned the hard way. Now, God, according to Judges 3, verse 1, wants us to learn war. I want that to sink in before we bring it on the screen. God wants us to learn war. We read, our God hasn't changed. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan. Only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formally. And so, our God, who is the same today, yesterday, yea, and forever, in the old covenant, wanted his children of Israel to learn war. Now, learning war means that you need to learn that God wants you to learn war. In the old covenant, he wanted that. He wanted them, and the way he teaches them is to give them enemies so they learn how to fight them. If there are no enemies, think about this, there is no war. We must learn and understand there is a war. He's given us enemies to teach us how to war. That's why Christians in the scriptures are called Christian soldiers. Duh. And that's why we have teachings such as 2 Corinthians 10:3. And it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Now, I think that means that whenever you get this thing figured out, and you figure out how to fight the enemy, we're going to have victory. We haven't had too much victory as far as Christianity goes today, but it's really not Christianity. It's this hybridized alien version called Judeo-Christianity. And they haven't been fighting. Ephesians 6:10. We're not going to go into all the armory of the armor of Ephesians 6, but Ephesians 6:10 and 11 does say this. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, it occurred to me just of late, one of the obvious schemes that Satan is using right now, and the Spirit's witnessed to me about it, and that's why I almost called this sermon being offensive. I'll tell you more about that. But I want you to know I learned this about war. It's a real war. And it's real dangerous. They really do steal, destroy, and kill. And there really are casualties. Like any other war. Spiritual and physical. If you attack Satan, I learned this quite well. If you attack Satan and his kingdom or his children, boy, watch them gather around. At least they support one another when they are attacked. he will attack back. Well, why should that? You say, Pastor Peters, that's brilliant. Brilliant. Or you might say, Pastor Peters, that's dumb. Well, whatever you say, I say this, I learned the hard way that when you fire on the enemy, he fires back. Now, it occurred to me this last Wednesday night prayer meeting, just how many people are getting fired on. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting on the radio. People call in all across the country, and we have prayer. This last prayer meeting, a lot of people called and said they were under spiritual attack. One person wrote this, actually a lot of people have written to me email. I want to read this one. She writes, she says, Dear Pastor Peters, just wanted to drop you a note to let you know I started praying the pistol prayer Sunday, and I'm praying it almost every hour on the hour. Now, that goes with our DC Street sorcery. I don't always hit it on top of the hour, and it's just hard to hit sometimes unless you got a timer. So if I miss it, I go ahead and pray it anyway. But she says, I was severely attacked by Satan and his minions Monday and Tuesday. Severe fatigue and weakness, inability to sleep through the night, Monday awakening every hour or two. The physical weakness came out of nowhere and for no obvious reason in the natural. I had done nothing unusual to cause it. I stood my ground in Jesus and bound the vile ones and continued to pray the hedge of protection around me and mine to pray on the armor and to stay in my rock. Today, Wednesday, everything is back to normal. In fact, I had to drive 50 miles round trip today and was quite able to withstand it physically with no unusual difficulty. Just a small praise report in encouraging others who will likely suffer similar attacks so they likewise will know where it's coming from and stand their ground in the Lord as well. I will be continuing both the pistol and rifle prayer with you all. The vision of their destruction keeps coming stronger and clearer. All praises to our Lord and King Jesus, our very soon coming King. Amen. Boy, that's encouraging me. They're praying and visualizing those sacred pillars, those images that they're getting power, and that magic emanating from Washington, D.C. being turned off. Now, for you to understand what that is all about, you're going to have to watch D.C. Street Sorcery. We played a portion of it in a sermon a few weeks ago, and now I got good news for you. We have stayed on the offense in spite of all the attack, and we got out this week the mailing to those on our CD, DVD, and cassette tape ministry, the DC Street Sorcery DVD. You watch it, it's about 2 hours, and you'll see that there's a reason they say it works like magic. Magic is taught in the Bible, and they were using magic in their warfare against Moses as he was working to get his people freed, and they're using it today, and that DC Street Sorcery shows it, and this is the ministry that revealed it. Now, you think it's an accident that suddenly this ministry that has exposed witchcraft coming out of Washington, D.C. is now being accused of it? Do you think that's an accident? You better think again. This is war. And I want to tell you something. When you're surrendered to Jesus Christ, you don't surrender to the enemy. Amen. Amen. You be strong and courageous and you stand. And you fire back. And then they talk to you. Well, you're not very Christian. I find that offensive. You bet you do, you enemies out there. They're offended when you go on the offense. Now, that's one thing I've learned over the years as I have fought this fight, and you'd better learn it as well. And if you want to go, go! But as for me and my house, we will stand and fight for the kingdom and the coming king. I'm not going to stand by and do nothing. I will be offensive, and I have learned that if you go on the offense, you are viewed by the world as offensive. And what a problem is with some of you Christians out there that want to have your Judeo-Christian version of Christianity, you don't want to be appearing as offensive to anybody. You can't go on the offense without being viewed as offensive. I'm offended. Well, don't let the door hit you, buddy, when you leave, because I'm going forward and I'm going on the offense. And I know that there's a whole host that's going with me, because God has prophesied of a Gideon group that marches on. Amen? As far as the attacks go, James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, and it's true. You just have to stand. It says, we read, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, he doesn't flee as fast as you might like, but he will. You stand on the word, and that word is true. And the word of God also says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it tells us that we do have an adversary, and it tells us that God uses that adversary to perfect us, confirm us, strengthen us, and establish us. We have authority over these forces of hell, according to Luke 10:19. And this is what it says in 1 Peter. "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes when we were talking about this in our household, we got to laugh and we said, "Hey, Satan, you should have sent him sooner." Because, you know, that's where you get your blessings. I'll tell you about that in a new weapon that I'm going to reveal in this sermon called the Curse Reverser. You've heard about the prayer filter. I've preached on that. You better be using it these days. But we'll talk about the curse reverser. But I want to, before we go further, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. And I want to say, this is what you need. You need endurance. We read, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now, one of the schemes of the devil, Ephesians 6:11 talks about the scheme of the devil, as I've already said, and I've learned it from him and his children, is that they will try to get you on the defense, because you can't win on the defense, and they always accuse you of what they are guilty of. Now, I'm sharing with you what I've learned in school, called the School of Hard Knocks, Pointers Dealing with Spiritual Warfare. It just might be that I carry a few scars and a few stab wounds and a few losses are in my life, because I had to learn the hard way. But I know what I'm talking about, and I don't want you to have to learn that way. And I want you to learn the way of the enemy is to accuse you of what they do. And Satan himself is a false accuser. I got a letter here that I want to read to you. Man that watched the DVD, sorcery DVD. He said, he saw it there on our sermon sometime past. "Dear Pastor, I could not believe what I was seeing in church yesterday. DC Street sorcery held my attention like nothing I've ever seen before. I was shocked and disgusted. I'm madder than I've ever been in my life. It's one thing to lay out for the people what is really going on in DC. It's quite another to turn the heat up by letting people take control of their own destiny with prayer. If you want to see the devil's playground, well, we got a belly full of it. I hate it. I hate it." Oh, I just don't feel any love from this man. The pistol prayer is just right. And I have prayed it at the top of each hour, day and day out. It's a masterstroke. I'm going to have several copies of that prayer laminated. The way I'll have it on hand, that way I'll have it in hand in the car, the office, at home, and in my wallet. You may think I'm not being serious with this suggestion, but hear me out. If the ragheads face Mecca and say their prayers, why not we Christians face D.C. with our prayers? When we pray, focus on the Washington Monument. With enough prayer, that monument will be cast into the river. Most certainly, their communication lines will be disrupted, causing chaos and confusion. Prayer is the key. This makes so much sense. I wonder how long will this last on YouTube. This DVD will turn this country upside down. What a challenge to the public, to the Christians. Finally, we can take off the blinders and see who it is that's slapping us around. Pastor, I'm not a learned man, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, I have come to the conclusion having to do with Christ the Healer. I truly believe with the lifting of the woman's skirt and exposing her sorcery, D.C. street sorcery, and with all the directed and focused prayers that will now come against the evil empire, the Lord will be opening the channels for healing. As the magic decreases in power through our prayers, the doors will be opened for the healing power to do the works that God, through His Son, had meant to be done all along. Jesus put the fear of God in the rulers of that day by His healing the masses of people who followed Him everywhere by the hundreds and thousands. His teachings in the temple did not affect the everyday man, woman, or child. When He healed, the powers that be got scared. My point is this. As the vial of secret society, sorcery, magic, and the rest of the garbage begins to Wayne, God will open the doors for healers to come forth and begin the work of removing the blinders from the people's minds and begin to open ears and open the eyes to the truth. It wasn't until seeing D.C. Street Sorcery DVD and with what I've been studying the last several days that the thought occurred to me, Holy Spirit inspired, that God will move on this land, God will send healers to His people. Now, that's a man that is on the offense. This church is on the offense. And they're going to be offended to have that D.C. sorcery not only seen, but Christians praying against them. And I want you to know that they are praying against us. Now, we have to learn. I've learned the hard way in a lot of these things, and one man suggested this, and I think it's a good suggestion. I might get it out in the coming newsletter, to change the pistol prayer a little bit. I say to you, pray the Lord's Prayer first before watching the DVD sorcery, and pray it every day, first thing, it says, deliver me from evil. Because when you fire on Satan, he fires back, but it will deliver you from the evil. One man suggested, one of my Acres Diamond men suggested to change it this way. Protect me, Lord, for thus I pray, in Jesus' name, victory today. My family keep as I fight. Let angels guard us day and night. D.C. sorcery and all spells cease. Satanic strongholds be released. All bales be broken and cast down, and all powers of idols by Christ be bound. We stop those that would cast a spell. We've the victory over death and hell. It's the armor of the Lord I wear. Thy kingdom come, I do declare. That's pretty good. I think it's better than the one I got. Well, you know, you develop better and better weapons. You learn how to fight better. You learn this warfare. Know this. They have prayers too. They pray. I want to go to a scripture in Micah 6, verse 5. This is what it says. It's a prophecy. My people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. And from Shittim to Gilead, in order that you might know the righteous acts of the Lord. Well, we'll stop there. He wants us to know about something that most Christians know. It's not right language, but I'll say it anyway. What most Christians know nothing about. That's what they call double negative, isn't it? But it gets across double what I'm trying to get to. We don't know what Balak counseled. Balaam. And the Lord said, you better know it. And he said, in order that you might know the righteous act of the Lord. We have got to know the righteous act of the Lord. This is a new thing that I've learned in the warfare that I'm teaching you. Aren't you glad you came to church?
Well, yeah, but I just think it's new age.
I don't know. Maybe I should have bet in the pool. But anyway, what did he counsel? In Numbers chapter 22, we read about that story. Let's go there. It says, and Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this horde will lick up all that is around us, and as the ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite of me. Now, therefore, please come curse. Everybody read that. Come curse this people. That was the counsel of Balaam, or Balak. Now, therefore, come curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Now, a curse is a prayer against. That's an imprecatory prayer against. And I want you to know that I've learned the hard way in this warfare that they pray against us. Years ago, I told you the story about that kike Jew, Joe Stearns, a retired New York Jew lawyer that came in this church. And he brought a man from Time magazine, and we caught him on video as we were praying, and he was standing there like this with his hand out, throwing a curse. It was interesting because I caught that. I cursed him, and he fled. You see, these churches out there today are to keep you dumbed down and keep you in the defense so you're little sweetie-peety type Christians and you don't fight. I want to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why there's a little two-year-old girl alive today. Because we went on the offense. And we committed. And we fought. I'm going to tell you why Christianity is dying, because they are getting you in those pews and you're pewing. Stinking. Rotten. And you're not fighting. And then you view people like me as not Christian. Witches pray against us. I told you about the witch on the airplane praying that the marriages would be bad. Years ago, I was preaching in California. I had swollen up around my neck like a bullfrog. And I couldn't talk very well. Having all trouble with my voice. And there was a woman at this gathering in Sacramento who came up to me, and she said, as you were praying, the Holy Spirit let me see a bullseye on your neck. And she says, you don't know this, but witches are praying against you. And she told me of a website that sells curses. And they were praying against me. They want to shut my voice down. And it was affecting me. Don't you make the mistake to think that there's not power in their prayers. That's one of the mistakes we've made. We know that in our warfare, one of the weapons is what? Prayer. You don't think they have weaponry as well on their side? This is a war. Both sides got weapons. But if they got one side fighting and the other side not, they got one side with knowing they got weapons and the other side doesn't know they do, and then they attack the preacher that tries to make known to them the power that they got in Christ. In Christ. Is it sinking in? Well, then I realized as I grew in my understanding that I can pray against them. And I've read about the prayers that went against Simon Magus by the Apostle Peter. Simon Magus was a sorcerer, and this is a documented fact. It's in the Apostolic Constitution how Peter took on Simon Magus. You basically had a sorcerer over here and you had an apostle over here, but they were using weapons against one another. Now, I found out in this warfare, not only do witches and the likes pray against you, but men of God pray against you. I know what I'm talking about. Now, this is a trap of Satan to trap you. And I want to say to you, don't you ever pray against a man of God. You pray for a man of God. And don't judge him. You let the judge judge the man of God. Does that make sense? Because it's a trap. Now, I can pray against witches. I know a man, though, that realized his mother was a witch and was bringing curses upon him and his family. And I said to him, no, don't you pray against her. That's a trap of Satan, because you are to honor your father and mother. Even David didn't pray against Saul, who was trying to kill him, because he knew Saul was anointed. He tried to stay out of his reach. And so I said, that's a trick of Satan. Now, we are told by our Lord, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. There are those that will consider you so unchristian that they think they're doing God a favor and saving the flock out there from you, that they will curse you in their prayers. I know. They'll not only curse you, they'll curse your wife as well. And it's a trap of Satan, because you have a tendency of fleshly nature to want to pray back. But don't do it. This is a trap of Satan. We are told in Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. And sometimes it's like, oh, Lord, oh, this hurts, Lord. Bless the bum. Bless the bum. Okay, Lord, bless the brother. They know not what they do. Can you receive that? And the reason I receive curses from some of them is because, well, they think, you see, I'm always pushing the envelope. They are so boxed into what they think is Christianity, this Judeo-Christianity, that if you're outside the box, you're evil. Jesus once said there would be those that want to kill you thinking they're doing God a service. I could tell you a story of some Jezebels coming to some preachers complaining about Pastor Peters, and the preachers get together and pray against me. And you can feel their prayers, because they are men of prayer and they're powerful, and that's when I realize I got a weapon. I can't pray. I'm not going to pray against my brethren who pray against my wife. I'm not going to pray against my brethren who pray against me. So what am I going to do, Lord? I'll bless them. And then I realize something. In this story of Balaam and Balak, what did God do? God took the attempt of Balaam to curse God's people, and he changed it into a blessing. And so here's your new weapon. I call it the curse reverser. And I just started praying, Lord, all those people that are praying against me right now, I want you to change their curses into blessings. And you know, I could feel it. You can feel their prayers or curses. you take and use the cursed reverser, and man, they're just praying away, and you're just blessing your life, and you're saying, Satan, you should have sent him sooner. Because you're receiving blessings. Now, I'm learning these things, and I'm sharing what I've learned the hard way with you. You can take it or leave it, but those are things I've learned. I've learned other things, and as I see, I have a little time left. I might share some of them with you, because as I said, this sermon is entitled Pointers in Spiritual Warfare. What I gave you, though, get down. Just say, Lord, any of those, be it men of God, brethren, or witches, or whatever, that are praying curses against me, change those curses to blessings. That's why the Lord said, that's why I want to read it again. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. And from Shittim to Gilgal, in order that you might know the righteous acts of the Lord. What was the righteous act of the Lord? He changed their curses into blessing. And now you know, because you went ahead and came to service anyway, in spite of all the rumors you hear about Pastor Peters. Well, I'm kind of glad I did. And I'm praying whoever wins that pool is a tither. Here's what I've learned about prayer. Jesus said, when they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, he said this, and I'm just going to read it. And he said, when you pray, say. Make sure you say your prayer. Say it out loud. Vocalize it. I want you to learn to visualize in your prayers. I tell you, when you read some prayer like Psalms 35, you'll see that David was visualizing what he was praying. The other day I was praying with a brother, and I visualized this. I worked construction, heavy equipment, when I was going not the Bible college, when I went to regular college. And I used to love to sit there on a DC Caterpillar, a D8. And boy, I could have done that all my life. I loved the power. But anyway, I said, Lord, send down them angels with a hard hat on, sitting in a big old D8 Caterpillar, pushing dirt over the ditch that they've dug for me, and let them be in it. And I visualized all of it. Now you say, well, now, how are you doing that? I use the prayer filter so I don't curse those that didn't. But I want you to know something. In this warfare, if you go over to Psalms chapter, I think it's Psalm 69, verse 20. Let's go there. All we ever hear from these churches is, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. We don't hear this part of it. And I want you to know this is another thing that you, in the warfare that I've learned, that I want you to learn is, well, let's read this. Psalm 69, 20. And I'll make the comments after I read the scripture. It says, reproach has broken my heart, and I'm so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food and my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink. Now, we'll stop there a second, and then we'll come right back to where you're at there. But notice that this is describing our Lord on the cross. And then they gave him gall. And you'll find in this warfare, they love to gall you, and you'll find yourself saying, oh, that just galls me. Don't receive their gall. It's the poison. Laugh at it if you have to, but keep your mouth shut and don't take it. Now, what did he say as we read on there? Did he say, Lord, forgive them? No, he said, may their tables before them become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so they cannot see, and may their loins shake continually. Pour out thy indignation, and may thy burning anger overtake them. Well, there's more I could read there, but I want you to know that you visualize, and there are times you fire back on those filthy, vile tares, the thorns that are there. And I want to tell you that the very last words that David said in 2 Samuel 23, we want to go there next, in verse 6. What were the very last words of this fighter? He knew war. It wasn't just a physical war that he knew. He knew that he was dealing with spiritual warfare, and he understood this thing of thorns and thistles. I tell you what, they're pricks in your eye. They're thorns in your side, and you've got to have the armor on in order to handle them. Otherwise, it's always you're always focusing on them, and you'll find yourself not being on the offense. And David said this, his very last words, if you will. We read in Psalm 69, 2 Samuel 23, verse 6. I'll just read it to you. 2 Samuel 23, verse 6. But the worthless, and there are worthless, let me tell you. But the worthless, these are the last words of David. But the worthless, every one of them, will be thrust away like thorns because they cannot be taken in hand. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they will be completely burned with fire in their place. In other words, fighting with them, you're reaching out and touching them, you'd better have your armor on. This was spiritual warfare he had learned, and these were his last words. And he was passing them on. And we must have passed on to us what the early church understood. One man called in the other night and said that he's sending me a book from hundreds. It's a song book full of imprecatory songs that the church used to sing. They've taken these things away from us. In 1 John 4:1, we'll not turn there, it says, test the spirits. Another thing I've learned in this warfare is that you've got to test the spirits. Me, I speak from experience, and I say to you, one of the ways you test the spirit is right here in the gut. When your body is forming in your mother's womb, the mass that becomes your brain, part of it becomes your gut. And you talk about a blink, don't go against it. It's part of your testing, and so many times we do. Don't go against your gut feeling in this warfare. How many times have you gotten in trouble because you have? And listen to your wife when she tells you, and if you don't have a wife, listen to your mom when she tells you, don't trust that person. They have a radar that you don't have. These are some of the things that I've learned along the way. And way back there, the Lord said, I'll put enmity between their seed and your seed. And you'll feel that enmity in the gut. These are spiritual things of spiritual warfare that I've learned. And don't get caught. I've already read to you and taught to you from James chapter 5, the last day teaching. And there he said, don't judge. Don't judge men of God that get deceived and make mistakes. You just let God do the judging. Will you receive that? And remember, for lack of fuel, the fire goes out. And remember, we press on the offense. And that's where this preacher's going. And we're going to have victory because we've already got it. And I learned that when you're fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, you never surrender to the enemy. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the victory. Faith is the victory. Thank you for telling us already that we have the victory. We have the victory. He came out of the tomb after having died for us. And so we say, victory in Jesus. Lord, I feel the kingdom coming, and I know our enemies do too. Let them be the ones in fear and trembling. And let us boldly, not shrinking back, to destruction. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless this message to the saints that I'm privileged to minister to. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And may the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are His, bless you, keep you, make His face upon you, and be gracious to you, and lift His countenance upon you, and grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
stood in front of a judge one day, watching the sun take everything away. All the things that I worked so hard for all of my life. Just one stroke from the pen in her hand, I felt so weak, could hardly stand. I felt so hopeless, helpless and scared, all the same. I felt your presence, I felt your love. Just one touch from God from heaven above. I felt your presence, felt your love. Jesus, you put your arms around me. I felt your love. Motel where me, myself, and I was living hell. Even tried to get it all with some pills and bought the booze. No one to talk to and nowhere to run. I'm back against the wall, my hand up at the time. I just didn't know what else to do. But then I felt your presence, I felt your love.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio resort in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. We'll be riding back this way next week, and hopes you will too.